Welcome to Writer Syndrome, a podcast about writing from start to finish. This episode, we're talking about structuring chapters. I'm Russ Capasso. Joining me as always is Tim Letney. Tim, how are you?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how structured are you?
You know, I had something in my head and then it just disappeared. So I fell back to the old just, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good.
I feel like I should be writing more than I'm writing currently, but life is blowing up all around me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to find the headspace.
Yeah.
But otherwise, my health is good.
Good.
I just turned another year older.
That's right. Happy birthday again.
Yeah. It's sad. But thank you.
I'm right behind you, so don't worry.
How about you? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. I am writing, but not as consistent, but I'm going to get back to it this week, which is good.
You just had a book reading, right? You just went down to Connecticut and...
I did. Beginning of March, I had a book reading at RJ Julia Booksellers in Middletown, Connecticut. And they're an awesome little independent bookstore down in Connecticut, pretty well known. And I was part of their local author series.
That's so cool.
It was me and four other authors. And I did like a little presentation reading, the Q&A, which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that part. It took a bit for people to ask questions, but once people did, it was pretty cool.
Did you get to sign any body parts?
No body parts.
Any casts?
No casts. Nope. Just books, Tim. Just books.
You signed some books, though.
I signed some books, yeah. It's a bookstore. It's not a cast store.
That's great.
It wasn't a body part store.
Maybe
okay.
Like one of your big fans kind of wheels up. They just broken their leg. And
they're like, hey, sign
please,
this for me.
Please, sign my cast.
I would. I'd sign a cast. Absolutely.
I know you would. You're a good guy.
I know. Thanks, bud. But yeah, no, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. Sold some copies, which that wasn't really the entire point, but, you know, it's part of it. So. Just getting out there and trying this thing out. So I learned some lessons, which is good.
Nice.
So thanks for asking.
What are we talking about today?
Structuring chapters. Go.
Yes.
No. And So where this came from was one, I think just we're trying to get back into writing our next things, right? And we're kind of getting into the weeds of writing. And I come across this article on Writer Unboxed by Anne Brown. She's like a romance novelist, and she wrote this article about ways to structure a chapter. And that kind of got me thinking about how I've done it and how I did it and how I do it.
Did you like go into it with intentionality? Like we're like, I'm writing this chapter and I'm going to like end on a cliffhanger, or I'm going to have some action beats, or were you just pantsing it and then...
Well, it's funny because one of my notes was like the first draft I had, I didn't know what I was doing. I just had like, here's a bunch of information.
Yeah.
Next chapter. Here's what the reader needs to know right now. Next chapter. And here's what they need to know here. A little bit of action and a little bit of, you know. Yeah. So no, I had zero intentionality. I had no idea what I was doing.
So then you went back and fixed it during the edit?
Yeah, definitely through the edit. There's a couple of books I had read by that point. One in particular is called The Techniques of the Selling Writer by Dwight Swain. And he gets really into like the chapter structure, even down to like paragraph structure and how there should be like this kind of ebb and flow and like kind of reaction, action, reaction, cause and effect type of, you know, pacing to even like the paragraph and like how chapters should be broken into like almost their mini story, which is... You know, some people believe that, some people don't. And it was kind of interesting. I was like, okay, so there needs to be a little more ebb and flow, a little more conflict within the paragraphs, which I was like, I don't know if I could think that small, but so that kind of changed when I went through the edit process, reshaping some of the chapters and even the paragraphs to kind of have that little back and forth, that kind of pacing. I still didn't get it right, but
yeah,
at least
I was not as granular as a paragraph. I mean,
I thought about it and I couldn't do it.
I don't even know if I could do that. I think I would go crazy. I don't think I'd ever finish a chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't wrap my head around it really all that well. And I wasn't sure if it was necessary. So I just like, well, within the chapter, at least let me know that there's this pacing of what's going on, making sure that like the beginning of the chapter, I'm setting up some type of goal. There's obviously some type of back and forth conflict of whatever shape or form that is. And then, you know, kind of ending on like some type of intrigue or a cliffhanger. But that last part, I didn't really get that until working with my editor. And she had, she really helped me shape the chapters, shave them off at the right point. She was like, you have chapters here where you just have this extra few paragraphs or two that are necessary, you know, cut it here. It leaves it with like this intrigue, either a question. that sets up the next chapter or the next time you return to that character. That really helped, like, you know, the pacing, which is, you know, obviously important. So
I remember I was really impressed when you shared one of your spreadsheets that had what information each chapter was sharing, like what the reveal was, like how it kept moving the story forward. And I looked at that, and I was like,
I'm a crazy person.
Oh man, I don't think that's crazy. I think that's making the reader's time. It's valuing the reader's time, right? Yeah. Like, because you don't want to have a big nothing burger of a chapter where nothing happens, right? Yeah. Like,
yep.
So that actually inspired me a little bit to think about kind of the meat and potatoes of my chapters and making sure, right, kind of doing a gut check, like, am I sharing new information here? Or am I just kind of twiddling my thumbs because I think this sounds good? One thing that I was completely guilty of and still am, and it was a learned thing. It's like the Netflix ender. Like I was ending my chapters on little cliffhangers, which I think is okay. But I had my like narrator, since it's omniscient third, kind of come in and say things like, she thought everything was going to be okay. It wasn't, you know, like, and it's,
I think I called you on a few of those. Like,
you called me on those. And I was like, where the heck am I getting that? And as I've read a lot of stuff in genre or out of genre, it's really common for authors to do. So I wasn't making it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really does draw attention to like the writing aspect and the authorly aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think I wanted to sound like severe or maybe have the sense of foreboding or dread.
Yeah.
But when you called it out, I felt like, you know, a sensitive writer. And I was like, delete it all. Kill it all.
Well, for me, it was just, but then again, that's what I say. Obviously, it's writing. All these things, you can do whatever works for you. But like for me, reading it, I was like, oh man, this scene is like, I'm kind of like terrified. I'm claustrophobic and you have this thing going on or whatever. And like, all of a sudden it ends like, and so did they think they were going to get out? I'm like, who's talking right now? Who is this? Hello, narrator? Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
who's here?
I think I cut all of it.
All of it?
I think I cut all of it. Even though I think I'd reinserted some when I had read, like I think Nick Cutter does it here and there. And I was like, he does it. And then I cut it again, you know?
So now do you have any thought or intentionality towards how you're approaching chapters now that you've done this once and gone through various edits and gotten feedback and
So I don't think the feedback I got was as granular as chapters. Certainly people had said like, this chapter is slow or like cut it, you know, it's kind of dragging on, especially when I switch characters. And I think that's in response to some of my chapters kind of moving at a clip so that when I introduced a new character in a new scene, it really felt like I was hitting the brakes. It was really abrupt.
Yeah.
I did not think as intentionally as I probably should have the first time that I went through. Even through the edit, really, I think my gut tells me to do little Netflix episodes. And I don't know whether that's right or not. It's just, for me, it's building tension and teasing reveals.
Yep.
So, or ending on something, like when you have that kind of, the thing you've been teasing and building to and it finally happens, then I would end with a, how the heck are they going to deal with this?
Yeah. Yep.
Or how are they going to get out of this? Like it happened and now they're stuck. And I'm hoping to like tease the reader forward that they're curious enough to keep going.
Yeah.
As opposed to feeling like, you know, it's just completely resolved in that situation. So, and I don't know. I don't know how successful I am at it.
Yeah.
It's something that I really need to dig into more with the next one. Not to the point where I feel completely muted, where I'm overstructuring, because I do like having this kind of flow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there needs to be some craft and intentionality about it. And it's an area for growth for me. It totally is.
I think maybe looking at what's the feeling you want the reader to experience is kind of important. So like if you're getting into horror and doing something, even like your next project, you know, maybe you want some type of this kind of slow dread, you know, and that's going to change your pacing. That's going to change how you start and finish a chapter. Whereas like a thriller in my case, like, and I always wanted the pacing to be quick. I wanted to get in and get out and I wanted to move kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And it was just because I wanted that frantic kind of feel of like this kind of chase, this 3 days of the condor, this, you know, espionage thing, someone not knowing what's, you know, the world that's circling around them and kind of get that through the pacing. And I talked to my editor about that too. And she helped me with that. But I always found that's like coming back to my glorious spreadsheet, which now looking back, I was like, could I even decipher this thing? I had like the goals like section or whatever tab I had and for each chapter, I'd have, you know, I'd outline what was the setup and the payoff. And usually I'd use those to be the things that I'd end the chapter on. So like if I'm setting something up in here, or there'd be something buried maybe early on in a chapter as a setup for something that pay off like in another chapter, two or three chapters later. And those things I could kind of benchmark as like maybe how I'd end the chapter on. So it leaves like, oh, I remember that. I read that in chapter three. Sweet.
Yep.
As a reader, I feel relieved that that was paid off. So that kind of really helped me, in the later drafts, think about, but mostly how to end chapters. And I think even now I'm thinking more about it, with the next book. And I'm sure after that, so.
It's funny thinking about, tone, right? Because mine very intentionally, my previous work really intentionally, I started with like dread and bombast. And then I wanted to move into like claustrophobia and suspense for act two. And then act three was more kind of like action-y.
Yep.
So, and each of those have different vibes, but I think my chapters themselves are structured very similarly, where it really is set up and payoff, like you said.
Yeah.
Or at least set up and then tease.
So reading through that, like that opening article that I was talking about from Writer Unboxed, there's like three different ways that Anne Brown had kind of outlined for ways to like structure a chapter. I've heard all three versions before, where you have each chapter should be thought of as like mini stories, where you have like a beginning, middle, and end, and there's a rising action and climax and whatever. And that, I feel like that version of structuring a chapter has been around for obviously ever. And then there's like the ones where it starts quiet and ends with high tension, or vice versa. So if you come in hot, you end quiet to kind of give the reader some pacing. And of course, the other one is like the Netflixing approach, where it's like everything ends on like a cliffhanger or something to keep the reader turning to the next page. I find it kind of interesting that there's other, of course, everyone's got their own opinion, but the other one was like kind of like this funnel of action, which was basically almost like a three act structure, where you set up the character's goals, you give them options, and then you have some conflict, and then you have an outcome. I'm not sure like how much I like that.
You can have multiple approaches in your book. You're not just going to have one.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like,
it'd be boring. It'd be formulaic.
You're going to mix and match. Like, there'll be some where you want tension, and then like, cause you'll have multi-chapter setups.
Yes.
That will eventually pay off.
Yes.
In a large way. You couldn't structure, I mean, not that you couldn't, but I don't know how enjoyable I'd find it if every chapter had setup, payoff, setup, payoff, setup, payoff.
Oh God. Yeah, no, the structure would be, the formula would be there in front of you. And after a while you'd be like, okay, here's gonna be another thing. Here's gonna be, you'd be able to guess everything that's gonna happen, right? If you start picking up in that pattern. So yeah, I agree.
I feel like if you layer these structures, like these approaches onto the beats, they will naturally happen, right? Like, it'll evolve the way that you're shaping your chapters to fit into that kind of 15 beat structure.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, definitely an approach you could do. Just stepping back, if you had to look at what's important to include in a chapter, is there anything that stands out to you?
I mean, for me, it's all about, I feel like I am always concerned about losing the reader's attention.
Yeah.
So I always want to make sure that whether the characters are going through something, or maybe it's an action scene or something's being teased, I want to make sure that there's some curiosity like this to keep them to, continue reading. Once again, I'm only one book in. I can't say that it's working. It's successful.
Yeah.
All my beta readers were mostly friends. So they're like, great. But I can say that I'm always, because as a reader, there's times like I'll trudge through a book, even if I'm not enjoying it, but it's not a, I feel like you're always at risk of losing the reader's attention.
Yeah.
I'll say what I needed to edit in and that I had a really hard time with was, I think my plotting was fine. I think the things that were happening made sense. I think my characters' reactions and motivations through needed to be cleaned up so much towards the end.
Yeah.
So like, it's weird, like the plotting of it, of like, the movement of my characters and the introduction of certain plot elements, I think worked just fine. But why my characters were behaving certain ways and the reactions weren't. And that took the biggest amount of time for me to kind of refine and fix up towards the end.
Yeah.
Like a year. It took like a year to fix that. And I think had I had a better vantage point of my characters through these arcs and had planned my chapters a little better, like if I'd sat down, like today I'm working on this scene.
Yeah.
And like, I think it would have saved me so much more time in the back end.
Yeah.
So an area for growth, definitely. How about you? Like, did you sit down with, well, we just said it. You did not initially, you didn't sit down with intentionality around your chapters.
No, No, not at all. Not one bit. It just, I mean, I had my list of things I wanted to get done in each chapter, but no, remember that first draft was first person, so I had no idea. I had no idea what I was
Yeah.
doing. Yeah, and then the second time around, once I was like, okay, let me put some Rust organization to this, and I'll feel better about rewriting this stuff. So, but I knew at least I needed to focus on that second draft. I was like, all right, at least focus on what's the goal of the chapter that set up that, what's the goal of that chapter set up, and what's the conflict within it, and like at least those two things were like kind of where the
Did you
people.
have chapter numbers in mind? Say, like, once you've done your research, you learned
Yeah.
about the beats, did you have like, this beat's gonna have three chapters, or I'm gonna write one, like,
Oh God,
did you
no.
know going into it, or like, I want a
No.
total of 32 chapters in this book, and that's all I'm going for?
No, it was always word count, and then it was just whatever gets me there to telling the story. I mean, once I did my sweet ass spreadsheet, as I like to call it, my SAS, my sweet ass spreadsheet, it started to come together. I was like, oh, I've got 42 chapters here. Okay,
Yeah.
I could just see it. But no, I never went in thinking like chapter numbers. That's a curious thing too. I mean, part of the chapter structure and everything, and is like titles for chapters. Now, you ha
Oh,
do you
yeah.
do you have titles for your chapters? I can't remember.
I
You
do.
do. Okay. I had
Much,
them.
much to my beta reader's chagrin.
So,
But I like them.
yeah, if you like
I'm
them, keep
somebody
them.
who
Like,
likes, I like a clever title, And since, like, I don't know, people are like, cut the titles. And I was like,
no.
no. I like them.
You read a book, you can cut them.
Yeah, I like little quirky things,
I did the
like
same
play on
thing.
words and stuff.
I did too. I do too. And I did the same thing. And I don't know if they were really adding much after I looked at it. And I was like, yeah, this isn't really adding much. I think it was more honestly for me to keep track of.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the one-liner summary for the chapter that I knew what was going on.
For me, my chapter titles were always like teases. Like, I don't like the ones like in Percy Jackson where, like, I was reading that to my kids and it tells the whole chapter. And it's like the
Oh God,
chapter
no.
that I fight a griffin or something. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
But I like ones that, like, you read the chapter and then you go, oh, that's why you
Oh, that's the
titled it
title.
that. Like,
I'm into that too. I like that. It's like the
but
opening
who
up.
knows?
It's like
Maybe that's a
a
look at me, I'm a writer thing that it isn't necessary.
I don't know. I mean, I don't at the end of the day, at the end of the day, I don't know if chapter they're not necessary, right? Like
Yeah,
if you
no, they're
got
not.
everything
And
in
they're
the
pretty rare,
chapter,
honestly. Like in the books that I'm reading, there's barely any. Unless it's like a character name, right?
That's what I was just thinking. That's a book I'm reading now. It's just telling you character name and that's it. So you know the point of view immediately. Which is also kind of interesting because you don't even need that. If you open up the chapter in a way,
I'll tell you, like, those books, I and like I don't know why, but I like the character names as a chapter. Because there's a bit of a relief that you're kind of back with your favorite one when you get there. It's like, oh, I'm back with, Larry. Oh, I love this stuff. I don't think it's necessary. I think you're right. But it does quickly orient you because sometimes, like, maybe you want to start with a paragraph or two that
Isn't
maybe it's scenic description or whatever else. And I don't know. It is a really nice shortcut to quickly orient a reader.
I guess it depends on the point. Well, very another important thing for chapter structure is a POV. So, right, because like I'm writing in like that. Deep limited third, whatever the hell we call it these days, limited third POV. Like I should be coming in with the scene setting from that character's point of view, right? So you should have a quick sense of like, right, like already whose head you're in.
You know
But
what?
if
That's interesting because my chapter titles, though they do not have the character names, although they do once or twice, they almost always have like a reference to the location that those characters are currently in.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, like, if you're paying attention, you'll know where you
Yeah.
are very
Yeah. Yeah.
quickly.
That's interesting because I think, huh? I wonder because like the things you want to get across and like the opening of a chapter, like what are some of the key elements? Like where are we and who are we? Who are we following right now? Right. Like those are kind of like the immediate things you want to get across within like those opening paragraphs. So it kind of reorients the reader, but using the chapter title kind of maybe gets you there quicker. In a way where you could have, I think I actually my one of my drafts, that's what I had. I had the character last name or character names as the chapters, if I remember correctly. But I didn't need it because, like, immediately it was like you kind of knew whose head you were in because I was the way I wrote the openings of those chapters was quickly getting into setting and getting into, like, you know, immediately whose head we're in. So,
yeah,
that's kind of interesting. I don't know if I'd ever, it's funny because after going through that process, my editor was like, no, you can just get rid of these, you don't need them. I trusted her and I was like, okay. And I do like the cleaner, you know, just look and vibe and feel of it. And, I think going forward, I think I'll just go stick with chapter numbers. I don't think I need to have titles, but not that there's anything wrong with that, Tim.
You
just
know,
saying, just saying.
Okay. Okay. You know, as I'm pondering, you know, going into the meat and potatoes of like structuring chapters and being like super intentional about, you know, orienting the reader and what information you're getting across and whether you're ending on a cliffhanger, part of me, like the pantser in me, is kind of like, whatever, dude, just do it. You know, it's like when you ask a musician, like, what do you write first? Is it the lyrics or the verse? And
yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, they're baffled. That's like a tree falling in the forest for them. They're like, what yeah. do you, what do you
what
mean?
Do you mean? Just write
what do you
it.
Mean?
Just do it.
You think I sit down and plan this?
Yeah.
You know, like you were fine, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so I'm thinking back to like when my chapters ended, I was never like, all right, I got across this information. It just always felt like the end of a
end of
chapter.
The chapter. Yeah.
And then sometimes in the edit, I was like, this chapter is 6,000 words long and nobody wants to read that. So either cut it down to 2,000 or 3,000,
yeah,
or break it into a couple chapters. And I certainly had situations where I was splitting chapters or shuffling them around. Like that happened a ton in mine.
Yeah.
I had a huge restructuring of chapters and plot elements
yeah.
based on the length of my chapters. So I'm sure some planning would have really helped, like putting some parameters on word count and what information I want to get across would have made the editing process easier. But in the same respect, it also kind of like, I don't know, puts a shadow on that romantic idea of writing. You know, I think
yeah.
for a first draft, probably should have had more of a scene breakdown to save time. And I'm planning it for this one, like with the next book, which I am working on the beats. And before I even put pen to pad or whatever, finger to keyboard,
yeah,
I do want a scene breakdown. It may shuffle, you know, some may be cut, but I do want to have a little more of a detailed outline because I don't want to spend a year and a half on an edit
no.
after the beta feedback, right? Like,
yeah, no, it's kind of streamlines things a little bit. Did you find, you know, you've got within a chapter, you might have a couple different scenes or, you know, breaks there. Do you ever find yourself splitting that out into its own chapter?
Yeah, there was definitely sections. I mean, I'll say I always, let me make sure. Let me make sure I'm not lying. I'm 99% sure
yeah.
that through the edit, each chapter and each kind of subheading, I still stay with the same POV, right? I tried my
okay.
best to not head hop.
Yep.
I didn't change POVs until I went to another hard chapter.
Gotcha.
And I kind of wanted to bounce, like
yep.
each of my chapters, I kind of wanted to bounce between different POVs. So there were some times where I would break up a chapter, whether it would be from the subheading or maybe a little further down, and I would
yeah.
slice it and shuffle it a little bit later, but then making sure that it wasn't just floating there. And honestly, there were some of those
yeah.
where I looked at them and I said, you don't need any of this. Like, Russ, dude, I cut, I must've cut 30 to 40,000 words.
Your first draft was my book times two.
Yeah.
Like,
so, and even now, like I'm landing around 105.
Yeah.
But I kept like, I cut so much, but I added, I cut like the flab and then tried to add the character motivation, if that makes sense. Like,
yep. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just to
yep.
try to keep it moving. But I cut so much. There were so many chapters really that I didn't need, or that the information
yeah.
could have been, and I did. I just moved like a piece of it to like an existing
somewhere
chapter
yeah.
and sliced it. And it hurt, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I worked on this, I refined this. And it's like, but nobody's gonna want, you know.
Yeah.
If you ever in my head, I'm like, I'll do a director's cut of my book someday, you know? Some like 200,000 word monstrosity.
Easy snack Snyder. Snack Snyder.
But how about you? Did you run into that, like where you were splitting
yeah.
up chapters?
Yeah, and honestly, what I found, and maybe this was through working with the editor as well, but I found that I would have multiple scenes within a chapter. I think I had towards the end, and I find this happens a lot in thrillers, towards like the last, like when you're building up towards a climax, you'll have shorter, I'm sure it's in other genre books too, but I'm reading a lot of thrillers. If it is following multiple characters' POVs towards like those last few chapters, the scene breaks will jump between POVs.
That's hard for me.
But that's fine though, because as long as you have a clear scene break, like the expectation is like, oh, this is a jump in time setting change or character change, which is fine. But then it'd be like shorter blurb. Like this book I just read kind of did that in the last couple chapters. So you get the different point of views of like, oh, this guy's coming into the house and he's going to kill everyone in the house. And then it jumps to the person that's in the house for like a quick little blurb and being like, oh, I'm scared for my life. And it jumps back to the guy, like, I'm running out of the house, I'm going to kill everyone. And he jumps back and he's like, I'm still scared for my life. And then it ends with him dying. But I found for me,
it's nice that it's clear. I've definitely read books where like they do that head hopping and it's not even a hard return. It's just the next paragraph.
Oh God.
Or sometimes in the same paragraph and you're like, what is happening?
I mean, that to me is actual head hopping. Whereas like, if you have a clear scene break where you have the extra return in there, which you should, then it's like, okay.
There's some really established authors that I've read that head hop, you know,
and it's tough
always,
for me.
It's always disorienting for me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've read that before, but it's just, it is disorienting for me as well.
Even if it's like limited third, right? Mm. Not omniscient and it's happening. It's like, what is like, it's like, just,
where are
I get
we
disoriented very quickly.
But yeah, I would have chapters that had, you know, or maybe made up of like two or three scenes in the chapter, same character, let's just say. And I was like, oh, you know what? Why don't I break this up, you know, into separate chapters, and then I can move this scene maybe down past, like, as long as I don't screw up my time and my logic here of things happening, order of operations, I would do that. So it kind of like would break up the pacing of the story. Cause like I had these moments where like, actually it was an interesting and fun exercise that my editor did. I had my scene breakdown and then she had done one just her own. She's like, just to, you know, so she knew where things were. Mm-hmm. And she did this really cool thing, which I started doing, was highlighting in different colors all the POVs, because I have three character, you know, POVs that bounce from. And immediately just looking at it from like stepping back, you can actually see where everyone's clumped together or not. And it was great for pacing. So it's like, okay, I've got three characters. Blackwell has the smallest number of chapters, right? Because he's important, but he's not that important. You know, Lilo's probably next, and she's, you know, got a small drink, and Elliot's got a lot, right? And then there was this moment where like in the opening, you know, act and second act, it was like I had a whole bunch of yellow block, and it was like, oh, that's all Elliot. And it's like, well, this is kind of boring, you know? So like, can I break up? And then once getting reader feedback, people were like, oh, we all love Lilo. And I was like, we need more of her. And everyone's like waiting to get back to her. So I was like, okay, let me take her chapters and kind of logically move them up top, you know, to get that pacing going. Mm-hmm. That was a fun exercise. But with her chapters, I'm getting back to the question here, I did have multiple scenes within some of her chapters that I broke out into separate chapters so I could actually have that pacing. Even if it was just a short, like, you know, a couple pages, at least you could be checked back in with her. What is she doing? All right, a couple, you know, chapter with Elliot, chapter with Lilo, chapter Blackwell, chapter with Elliot, you know what I mean? So I kind of had like this kind of natural pacing that I really liked.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like too predictable, but I don't mind it because it gets I think it keeps the reader, like, for me, I enjoy that. And I enjoy that, like, I'm going to spend a couple with like our main character, then I'll get one with like, you know, these secondary characters to check in on where they are. I don't like waiting till the third act, like, oh yeah, this guy, what was he doing? Yeah. What's he doing now?
You know, I had had it where I'd had, as I'm thinking back to it, I had like cascading chapters that changed POV.
Hmm.
And I completely changed that where I chunked my POVs together.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure, I'm trying to think what the rationale was at the time for doing it. I think it was just too disorienting having three POVs and shuffling them.
Yep.
Oh, and also, this is why, the beats. Like, in order for me to fit a little cleaner into that three act structure and like the 15 beats there, it was way easier for me to chunk my introduce a B character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my climb. It was, yeah. But the way that I wrote it, I had actually written it where I was jumping from character to character to character.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, looking at it now, but yeah, my POVs are very much clumped together.
Yeah, I did my best to not do, man, I should open my spreadsheet. I can't remember those last couple chapters of my own book, but I definitely had, I did that alternating POV within scenes in the last couple chapters. I definitely did that because kind of building up tension and bouncing between them. So I would have multiple POVs in a chapter. But I didn't do it for like the whole first and second acts. So I think it was more of just like a way, it was a device for ramping up the pacing towards the end, which, you know, I talked about like a lot of thrillers that I've been reading lately will do that just to kind of like ramp things up and you can feel like you're heading towards a climax. So, and that was just part of like the reader experience, I think, aspect.
And
So.
have you noticed, like, it feels like when I'm reading books that either the third act is rushed and the chapters are shorter, or the chapters are just shorter because people, like the author, wants to get across that sense of the pace is picking up, you know?
Yeah. Well, I thought the same thing. I think we've talked about this before. I felt the same way in like that third act and you get towards like the last few chapters. Yeah, it feels like things are speeding up and you feel like they're rushing. But I think maybe in some cases, yes, that's probably the case. But a lot of times I think it's a purpose. That's purpose. I think it's purposeful to like ramp up to that climax, like what we're building up to and where we're getting. And so now looking at it, because I think originally I was like, I mean, they just rushed. And I was like, more like, because I more because like I know I did and I kept rushing and it's like that third act I keep like writing in this linear fashion from chapter one to chapter 42. By the time I get to chapter 35 30 I'm exhausted and like now I'm not giving the same attention to to the final act here and like this build up. So I mean, let's get over that and they all died. All right, cool, we're done. But it's probably a little column A, a little column B, but I do feel like it is a device for speeding up the pacing and getting people to feel that kind of
Like
that pace
inertia
that
or
yeah that rush and like you feel like you're coming to an end. You've spent all this time with these characters, you got through your act two drudge and then here we are, we're wrapping this thing up and that's what keeps people kind of like wrapping, keep reading to finish it. So at least for me that kind of works. So but
Does yours, I forget. We're talking about like teasing out information and building suspense and tension. Do you have twists in yours? And if so, how does that factor into how you were structuring your chapters?
Yes. Yes. There is a twist in there. I don't want to talk too much about it. And structuring a chat, how did that impact? That's interesting. It's interesting because I think I'm thinking more about it for this next project I'm working on, where there's gonna be like two pretty good twists in here, and I'm
You're
excited
like
about
going to
it.
pull an M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know it. Of course. Grass is killing everyone. You know that.
Oh no, it's the grass.
It's the
What's
grass. It's
happening?
the trees. What's happening? It's happening. I was trying to think of that. What was that movie where they were just like a small colony, like they were trapped in like the current
The
day time?
village.
The village, the colony, you
The
dummy, the
colony.
village. I was so close, so close. Stupid.
There's like on like a park reserve next to a highway.
a campground with tents around them. Oh my God. Yes, I think thinking of twists is definitely impacting, it's going to impact chapter structure and how I end chapters, especially around the twist, right? And where do you place those twists? Do you come out of the gate with it and then have to explain in the chapter, or do you build, 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 and then that's like the end of the chapter and everyone's like, oh, which I think that's probably the more common, or at least the way people are attached to media in terms of how, they would expect that. They would expect that twist to come after this build up, maybe. But of course, if they expect it, then it's not really a twist. So yeah, I don't know. I think I've got a little more thought and intentionality behind it for this book too, because they're important. And I want to make sure I give them the right focus. I don't know how that's going to play out with how I structure the scenes in the chapters yet. For the first book, there is a bit of a twist, but I think I did it well. I think I did it well. I think it comes. There's this build up to it of like, oh, what is this? What is this thing? Oh, it's not what we thought it was. And I think it comes more in the middle of a chapter, if I remember correctly. It doesn't come at the end, or maybe close to an end of a chapter. So it might even be within like a, just a scene break. Did we solve all the problems? I think we solved it all.
I'll tell you that I'm motivated to structure my next one.
Yeah, get in there. Start writing.
And think
Structuring.
about it, as opposed to just like, this is how I'm feeling today.
You know what? I think that brings up a good point of like wrapping this up, like putting a little more intentionality, a little more thought into what are at least the goals, like, or the conflict within a chapter. I think that's super helpful. Obviously, understanding the point of view, and deciding if you want to do like this cliffhanger intrigue thing ending. But I think those like the most important things are having that goal set up
And just thinking about the reader, making sure that they're motivated to continue reading, that they're not completely lost, that they
Yeah.
want to learn what's going to happen next, as
Yeah.
opposed to, how you're feeling that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think and having there's like the obvious key elements of, setting point of view right off the bat, or having some of that early on within the first couple of paragraphs. I'm not saying it has to be like the first line, but you know what I mean? Like early on, so you can reorient the reader, like you said.
Yeah.
And I'm like wondering like how much information you need to give the reader sometimes to get you caught back up with where, if you haven't been with a character for a while, but like understanding, like
Yeah.
if it's been a couple chapters, maybe like, give it a little, I don't know, some type of, it would be a
A little bit
summary.
of a recap. I've noticed that a lot of
Right?
authors do that. And sometimes it's a bit much and it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
dude, I know. And
Yeah.
other times, it's none at all and you're completely like, who's this person? Where are we again? So I
Yeah.
like the idea of kind of reorienting the reader when you come back.
Yeah.
But it really is all about the intentionality. I think it's what makes a difference between, a diary entry and art in a novel, right? Like you have
Yeah.
intention, you're thinking about the audience, you're thinking about what information you want to share and when. There is a craft to it.
Yep.
And even those who aren't so intentional in their planning, there's still a craft to it. I know
Yeah.
that sometimes we really get into the weeds on this podcast and some writers don't need to. But if they're successful, even if it's not intentional, it's still there. It's part of their process. It just comes without thinking.
Yeah. And it's just time with
I guess
writing.
I think that's probably one of my concerns, right? Is that I want to make sure that it doesn't, I really want to vanish, as an author away from the text. I want it to feel natural, like faded in a way. And I don't want to draw attention to myself. And I just want to be able to cast a spell to the reader that they can kind of enjoy it. So sometimes I feel like the planning will ruin that, but I think that's maybe completely incorrect. If anything, the planning will probably allow me to more properly tease out information and keep a reader engaged.
Yeah, and I think that stuff that what you said, like that vanish, which I agree, you want the reader to be kind of taken away and in this world. I think that's stuff that you solve through your like rewrites, your edits, right? Your revisions is
Yeah.
that polish you put over, so you get all the information you need in there in that first draft and the goals and conflicts and all this sort of stuff, and then just kind of shape it where does this feel, round out enough? Does it feel balanced enough? Does the pacing feel right? Did I give too much information? Is it too expositiony? Is it too on the point? Too on the nose?
Yeah.
How can I tease that out a bit more? And I think that's just like that's what comes through like the edits, and like, it's a whole nother episode of just then focusing on like, all right, how do I do that? But keeping that in mind, I think helps that for like later drafts and revisions. So I don't know. Is that it? We nailed it. We talked. We did it. We structured it. We've structured chapters.
I'm ready. Let's go structure some chapters. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. What are you reading and
This is
watching
how you
before you
should
do
start. You
that,
should
though?
start with a character waking up
From a dream. No, don't do
from a dream.
that.
Such a trope, right? The first chapter, character wakes up. I suffered from that. I think I did it twice in the prologue.
Yeah.
I think I might have done it in my first chapter. I was like, oh yeah, first time author always writes about characters waking up.
Don't know if I do a wake up. No, I didn't do a wake up character. I don't think I did that moment. No, I went right into it, right into the action. Let's go.
I'll tell you that I realized that I had done it. I thought about it and I kept it. And I was like, no, I want this.
Yeah. Well, you and every other writer does, Tim. No,
You and every other writer, yeah.
yeah, don't
So
start
what
with a
am I
dream.
watching and reading? I am reading Annihilation.
Oh, like Annihilation, the book that turned into a movie by Alex Garland? That Annihilation?
Yes, I am reading Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer.
Yes, that's it. I've heard it's a wild read and almost a little difficult.
It is interesting, and it's, talking about structuring chapters and how he's doing it. Early on, I was like, why is I was curious about the decisions the author was making, and I was really thinking about the author.
Yeah.
But as it's kind of dripped in, and now that like I'm about 100 pages in, you really do kind of identify with the characters. He's a talented writer.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that there is no character names, right? Which is
Oh.
what was really hard for me to kind of get around. So like,
Okay.
it's like I'm with the biologist, and there's the psychologist,
Oh,
and I have a
okay.
husband, and I made it like 50 pages in, and I was like, have I not gotten
A
one
name.
single character's name? And it's
That's
such an intentional choice, right?
yeah.
And it feels a bit awkward and faceless, obviously. But yeah, I started reading that. Actually, I picked up, it's a trilogy of books called, I think,
Yeah.
the Area X series. And there's this beautiful hardcover that had come out, I think, kind of recently, and I picked it up. It's beautiful. So it's very similar to Roadside Picnic, which I had just read, which is that Russian book, that was adapted into Stalker, the movie. Vandermeer was not influenced by, it's interesting because he keeps getting pinged by, fans or critics saying like, why don't you credit Roadside Picnic? And he's like, I wasn't influenced by it. It's
Yeah.
he happened across the similar idea. He's like, but it's kind of sticky because Alex Garland was influenced by it by the movie, like from the movie.
Oh, interesting.
So because it, it's such a huge classic movie that like Garland is a film buff. Of course, it's going to have that in his DNA. Story's very similar. It's, pretty much like an alien presence has landed. It's kind of made an area mutate and change in a certain way, and that mutation affects the characters. So he came across a very similar idea. They're completely different books, Roadside Picnic and Annihilation. But I'm digging it, and it's not a comp per se, but like as I'm planning my next book, I do want to have that kind of houseless foreign land feeling of exploration. So it's nice kind of getting that like hiker surveyor in like a hostile area perspective. It's good so far. I definitely recommend it. I really enjoyed the movie too.
Yeah, I did too.
It's funny. I showed I was like, hey Jill, my wife, we should watch Annihilation. I was like, it's got Natalie Portman in it. I was like, you don't mind her. And she goes, I don't love her.
What's wrong with Natalie Portman? Come on. Queen Amidala. Come on.
And then I was still doing a little bit of like horror movie comp research. I've kind of dripped into the absolute weeds with like recent ghost movies. I did like all the classics, and now I'm like into the aughts of like your Conjurings and your Insidiouses and all that stuff. And I'm watching the most recent Insidious, which it's not bad. It's like a nice little mixture of like Nightmare on Elm Street and I don't know, Amityville or something.
Is that by the didn't director do like a Fast and Furious movie? Is that
He
Insidious?
did. So he's handed off the reins of those to like a guy named Lee Whannell, who has written those. He's done some other stuff too. It's okay. It's like funny. There's so many of these movies now. It feels like a Netflix series.
Jeez, yeah. Just queue it up.
Yes, cue it up. But yeah, that's about it. I haven't been really watching too much TV. I've been gaming maybe a little too much.
Oh boy, that's why you're not writing. Okay. All
I
right.
know. I thought Helldivers,
I'll
Final
see you in
Fantasy.
Helldivers 2. I'll see you in Helldivers 2 later. Speaking of which,
I'm aiming for late March, early April to kind of get back into the swing of things.
Good.
I feel like my research phase is done. I think I've read my comps and, I'm ready to finish this up. I've got most of the beats working out for the new story. I just need to kind of get through Act Three. I don't know how this thing ends.
I need my writing buddy back because I got some big stuff I need to work through.
Anyway, what are you watching? What are you reading?
Oh man, I got so much. You ready?
I'm
Reading
ready. Bring it.
wise, so I finished The Gray Man by Mark Greene, thriller, silhouette dude in the cover type of thriller. Totally fine. It's in somewhat in the genre I'm working towards. So that's why I picked that up. I keep seeing it pop up, and it was the movie on Netflix with Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling there. It's good. It's squarely in that genre. Like it checks all the boxes. I did find myself like skimming through chapters because I was just kind of getting a little bit bored. I don't know if it was just because detail or this constant reiteration about how badass our guy is here. And it's like, yeah, I get it. How about you just make him do the things to make him feel badass? Stop telling me over and over again. So yeah, that kind of dragged a bit. I was like, yeah, I get it. He's badass. We don't need this to be 450 pages. Just shave 100 pages off this about talking about how bad of an ass he is and just
So they were
make.
just like, they were telling too much and not showing enough.
And they said it quite a few times from different other characters. Like, oh man, he's really badass. Oh man, if he's coming for you, you're done. It's like, all right, well, I know he's gonna win in the end here, and that's fine. I think there's like that, that power fantasy thing going on there. But
What was the All Is Lost like? Like, how did they knock that character down?
like they do in a lot of thrillers, which
Got
hey,
beaten up a lot.
he comes to the end and he's like, he's got a gunshot wound, he's been stabbed in the abdomen, like all these things that basically would have put you down and like isn't
Not this
real.
guy. Have you heard about him? He's amazing.
And that's fine. Like again, it's part of the genre. There's expectations. The James Bond thing. It's a Jack Reacher thing. And that's the only. They're static characters that. That's how they get. That's their all is lost. That's their moment of down. It's not like this. There's not like a gut wrenching emotional type of thing attached to it because, God forbid. But it's more of just a. He's wounded. He's limping. And there's like chapters taking forever describing that. There's a whole scene of him going to like a underground veterinarian's office and getting patched up while they're driving a car. I'm like, why are you you don't need to do this, you know? Yeah. And a sense of tension
like
was just
in the
just
vein of like
lost.
the newer Bourne movies and then obviously like the Bond movies that are influenced by it. I feel
Yeah.
like those all is lost or earned and like
Yeah.
a little more severe. And I think that's what gave additional texture to those characters, that
Little
they
depth.
had some emotional connectivity, that they weren't just
Yeah.
John Wick or something.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And again, and this is it's a book for a particular audience, and that's fine. And that's what
Yeah, and
this
it's
is.
delivering on those genre expectations, but
100%. But now I feel like I've read all of them, and I've read like, a dozen of these books, and I feel like I've read all of them.
yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, that's fine. And everyone's got their twist on it, and that's completely fine. It's something I'm like, now I'm not as interested in this. And it's like, now I want to find like what's my spin on this that I can do to
You know, it's
make
like a
this.
male romance novel or something.
Yeah,
It's
we
like,
see.
oh, if only I was completely alone, drinking vodka, taking gunshot wounds, and
Kicking ass,
murdering all of my enemies.
right? Who are bad people,
Yeah.
by the way? But yes,
Yeah.
it's that's what novels, that's what stories are for, fiction. So, but now I'm like, after reading like a lot of these popular ones, these ones are really big and in and out there. I'm like, okay, what things do I want to take from this, and what things do I want to leave? I'm
Yeah.
finding a lot of stuff I want to leave. Yeah, so I read that, finished that one. I restarted The Hunger of the Gods by John Gwynne. I started this a long time ago. I'm back to it. It's part of his Bloodsworn trilogy or series.
Okay.
Pretty great. Jumps between three characters. There's a lot of lore to it. It opens up with like the first like 10 pages is like glossary of terms and then glossary of characters and creatures in the world. So kind of like this Viking fantasy type world. So I'm just started that like a chapter into that. It's fun to kind of get back into that world.
I
So
ask you a tough question?
yeah, go for it. I probably won't be able to answer it.
Having read these two very different books, have you noticed a difference in how those chapters are structured?
I've only read one chapter of The Hunger of the Gods, but I did read the first book, and it's kind of similar. Yes, chapter structure, actually, I was going to bring up for the Gray Man. Long for the Gray Man. Chapters were longer. A lot of exposition and a lot of detail on those things, because like I think that's the expectation. It's not to the point of Tom Clancy level where, sheesh, this is a
Taking
research
apart boat motors.
as a research novel, but pretty close. Definitely more kind of cliffhangery, I guess, ends, how the chapters
I love
end.
how that's like coming back to like how those are kind of romance. It's like taking apart a machine, you know. It's
Yeah,
like
100%.
it's a guy alone in a garage, like working on a car,
Cleaning his, fixing his car, or cleaning his
fixing his
guns or something.
gun.
Yeah.
So boring.
It is, but hey, some people are into that, and that's fine. That's, hey, you're into it, you're into
Well,
it.
some people are into the wishing they had the time to do that.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's
Not the actual like thing that they're
yeah,
doing,
they'd rather
but
sit down and read about it than
oh man. So yeah, the chapters for The Gray Man, much longer. Like I said, I ended up skimming a lot of it, because I was just like, all right, I don't need these two paragraphs. Just four
I'm
probably
surprised
yeah, because you
that
move through
I
this.
figured the chapters would be kind of short and punchy based on it being espionage.
No, it's like 400 plus pages, and it's just
Oh,
like,
wow.
it's an action I gave it's more of an action thriller, and it's like, yeah, I was surprised too, and I was expecting it to move at a little bit more of a clip, but it just kind of dragged at some points. Hunger of the Gods, like I said, I've only been one chapter in, but remembering the previous one, it's got this nice build up within a chapter. It's like, you know who you're with, kind of the setting, there's good character interactions and conflict with the other characters, secondary characters in the world that are kind of lingering around. And each chapter feels like a build up to like something,
Yeah.
some type of either outcome or oh dot 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 kind of thing. And it's just like a little more, I don't know, it's a little more intriguing to me. But again, kind of two different styles. I mean, this one's like fantasy, Viking fantasy stuff. The other
Yeah,
one's a
which I mean,
straight thriller.
it probably needs to be that intentional and that plan because there's so much world building going
Oh, there's
on.
so much. Yeah, there's so much. Where something like The
Whereas
Gray Man,
Gray Man is like
it's the
current
world.
year,
Yeah.
whatever else.
Yeah, so there's not a ton you need to build there, really. It's just you're
But how
building.
great would it be to read something like The Gray Man that was written with the intentionality of that world building, right? Like,
Tim, I'm doing it.
is that
Not to pat myself on the
what
back, but that's what I'm doing for my next book. I'm
That's awesome.
taking a mix of these things that I really like and just
You're like,
kind
I'm
of.
taking these genre expectations and I'm not delivering on them.
I'm not delivering on all of them. And then I started, I literally opened and got it set up on my Kindle, but I'm Headspace by our friend JD Edwin, who we had on a couple
Oh.
episodes ago. Yeah, I finally just got around to getting on my Kindle and literally reading like the first couple of lines last night, so before I
You know
fell
what's
asleep.
surprising about that book by JD is that it starts like Hunger Games, kind of in a way. And then out of nowhere, there is just gratuitous violence.
Yeah, you mentioned
I was so surprised
that.
because it feels like very PG and like very teen. It gets very R,
Really?
like out of nowhere. It's really abrupt,
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking
and really
forward to
eye-opening. You're like,
it.
whoa, what happened?
Yeah. I can't wait. I'll get into
There are
it.
some stakes here,
Yeah. So I'm reading those two kind of like in parallel. For watching, I know something you watched recently. Well, at this point, it'd be a month ago, we saw Dune 2 together, didn't we?
So good.
So good.
So good.
Dune Part 2. I think it
We
delivered
I had a
on.
friend and I asked him what he thought of it, and he said it wasn't as good as the first one. I was like, it's a continuation of the first one.
It's the same
It's
movie. It's the
not like
same.
a remake or
Yeah.
something.
It's the same movie.
You know, it's not a sequel per se. It's one story,
One
right?
story. Or they mean like not as good as the first one, like 1984 Dune.
No, he did
Like,
not mean that.
I know who
My
said
hot take
that.
on it is that I enjoyed it more than the first one, but had I not seen the first one, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because it's one movie. It's one
It's one
story.
movie.
It's one movie.
Yeah,
It's one
I
story.
absolutely
So.
love that movie. I'm like telling everybody to go out to the theater and go see it on a big screen. I thought it was
Yeah.
like the best sci-fi movie I've seen in the theater in like 2 decades.
Yeah, I mean, I very much enjoyed it. I thought all the changes they made from the books was great. I don't want to spoil or anything, but the book came out in 1965, so get on that. But yeah, I think all the changes they made were really good. They felt right for the way the world was designed and built. I thought all the characters, actors played their roles, you know, right.
Even Christopher Walken.
Yeah, whatever. He's Christopher Walken. It's fine. He's just there for a couple of scenes. I mean, he wasn't really much, and I guess he kind of was in the towards the end of the book, but not that much, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I very much enjoyed it. And I can't wait till he does Dune Part 3, aka Dune Messiah.
Dune Messiah.
So we watch that. I also watched a movie, Poor Things, the Emma
Oh, how was
Stone, Willem
that?
Dafoe. It's weird. I really enjoyed it.
I'd like to watch that. That's like a Frankenstein reimagining, is that right?
Yeah, it's like a coming of age. Yeah, it's a Frankenstein coming of age type of story
I had a
when
question
it comes
about
down to
this.
it. Yeah.
So, because the core of those stories and then a female in those stories, like there's that trope of the born yesterday trope that they
Yes.
have.
Yes.
Do they like, is it
Yes.
like an invert? Like, I don't know. Is it that trope or does it like comment and critique that trope?
It comments and critiques that trope.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
great.
Yes, it definitely does. A little long, but it's quirky and weird enough where it kind of the pacing moves you through that. I think it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, but
Yeah.
it moves you through it.
I really want to watch that.
But yeah, definitely worth a
Okay.
watch. I
I will.
thought it was great. So I know a lot of people didn't. I read some funny reviews about it, and it was just like sometimes people you just need to know that it's fiction.
Yeah.
This is all made up. It's fiction, you know. Don't take it so goddamn serious, you know.
I feel like the internet, I feel like if you're posting anything on the internet, it's just some ridiculous critique.
Yeah,
It's like,
this is a new
we've
segment
reached a
for.
point as a society where we just complain about things online.
Yeah, it's like it's a movie. Why are you taking this so seriously? This is the slash R, the slash rant portion, new segment Tim and I are introducing to the Writer's Syndrome. It's called Slash Rant.
Slash rant.
Yeah, just don't take it so serious. It's a movie. So, anyways,
Interesting.
that's my rant. Definitely worth it. Watch it. So, but yeah, that's been it for me. So, yeah, that's it. That's our episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. What are we're next episode? It's our 50th episode.
All right, 50
Surprise!
episodes. Look at
Surprise!
that.
It's gonna be a surprise episode, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We kind of thought about it, but we didn't. So I don't know. We'll have something, but it's gonna be our 50th episode, our next one. So join us for that. It might be a celebration of us, and
Might
that
be our final episode.
it might be our fine. Maybe we'll end it on a high note. I think. Is this our high
We'll
note?
end it on a note.
We'll end on a note. Not sure what kind of note it is. Anyways, that's what we're doing for the next one. If you enjoyed it, this episode or any of our episodes, you should share it with a friend who might also enjoy it because that's the best way to celebrate us, sharing us. That's what happens when Russ goes off script. You can follow us on Instagram at Writer Syndrome Books. You can Twitter us, tweet us, writer underscore syndrome.
Yeah, don't.
Don't.
Unless you're an author who wants to be interviewed or chat about your new project or upcoming projects,
Hit us up there,
we'll check
but
the messages. But X is so dead right now. That algorithm
it's
is killing us.
yeah, it's brutal. It's no good. Otherwise, you can go to our website, find all of our old episodes, which are all fantastic, I like to think. You can contact us from there too. Send us an email if you're, like Tim said, interested or want to talk or have any ideas or want to tell us you think we're wrong about something. That's always fun too. You can find all that at writersyndrome.com.